That was a pretty lame clap. Whoa, my mic is hot. That was a pretty lame clap. Y'all act like you didn't get as much sleep as you normally get last night. Welcome, 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 welcome. Happy spring break. Happy spring break to all you teachers, administrators, and especially the kids. I'm so thankful that you have chosen to worship with us this morning. My iPad is asking for my passcode, and I couldn't remember what it was, but I got it. But we are so honored that you have chosen to worship with us today. And if you're a visitor, if this is your first time here or first time in a long time, I just want to welcome you to Briarwood Church. We are so humbled that you have chosen to worship with us on the front end of this holiday week. Before we begin with today's message, if you don't mind, I would just like to take a moment and gather my thoughts, please, for just a second.
All right, it's almost game time. Get focused.
You've got to do a good job so they will come back. Wait, next week is spring break, so they're probably not going to come back anyway. Okay, shake that thought. Get focused. You have to do good. Make them happy. Last week, some of them weren't happy. They didn't like your shoes last week. Now get focused. Funny. Remember, they like funny. Tell a good joke. They're hard to please, but you can do it. You can do it. You can please them all. Concentrate. Focus. Smile. Let's go.
Becoming fixated on what people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. Becoming fixated on what people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. We are in the fourth week of our sermon series, Spinning in Circles. It's the endless pursuit of more. We've talked about things like perfectionism. We are not perfect. God is perfect, but we are perfected through Christ. We've talked about perfectionism. We've talked about stress. Stress. I'm sure none of you have stress in your life right now. We've also, the third week was, we talked about, is good enough? Is good enough? Today we're going to deal with the truth that most of us know intellectually, but very few live practically. And that is the truth that no matter how hard we try, we are never ever going to please everyone. No matter how hard we try, we are never ever going to please everyone. Now, I want to say for the record that those thoughts that you heard are not the real thoughts that I think when I come out here every Sunday. Not exactly. Y'all are always happy. Those thoughts were all made up. But similar thoughts do go through my mind because I'm human. And the reality is, I want approval from others. And the pressure I feel, real or imagined, you know, if I do a good enough job, y'all will come back. And if I don't do a good enough job, y'all won't come back. It's a real healthy temptation to surrender my life to the opinions of others. Now, you're probably like me, and you know the truth that you can't please everyone. But it's weird how the spiritual enemy can put thoughts in our head and try to manipulate and massage the truth in such a way that it actually hurts us. So we may say things like, well, you know, I can't please everyone, but if I can please as many people as I possibly can, then I'm in good shape. Or I know I can't please everyone, but if I can please just this certain group of people, you know, the people that really matter. If I can just please them, then I will be in good shape. I can't please everyone, but I can please God. So we're going to talk today about not living for the approval of people, but instead living for the audience of one, our Heavenly Father. Let's start today with a story about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was going to Galatia, and he was going into a mess. It was a very disastrous time there. He was going to Galatia to straighten out this mess. What he realized is that the people did not know how to truly get right with God. What did it take to be right with God? They were confused. Some people were saying that, well, to be right with God, you had to be circumcised. So thankful you don't have to be circumcised to be right with God, just for the record. Some people were saying, well, you have to obey the entire law. Some people were saying, well, you have to do both. You have to be circumcised and you have to obey the entire law. Some people were saying, no, that's not right. To be right with God, you don't need to do any of those things. And so the Apostle Paul was going into Galatia to straighten out this mess. What he was going to do was tell them the truth, that the only way you are made right with God is by faith in Jesus, and faith in Jesus alone. So as he is going to Galatia to give them this message, he came with this very bold and controversial message. And as soon as he started preaching it, he knew that there were a group of people that were becoming angry. They were becoming angry at him. And so as he's preaching this message, his approval rating starts plummeting. And being election season and they're about to elect apostles, he decided to soften his message to one group, change his message a little bit over here to appease another group. He changed his entire viewpoint to try to make everybody happy. No, not. That's not what he did at all. But that's what we do a lot of times to try to please everyone around us. What Paul did is he came and he preached boldly. In fact, he said, you must receive Jesus and Jesus alone. Even though there were a lot of people that did not like that message, he did not waver. And that's why he made this very bold statement, which I love in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. This is what the Apostle Paul says, and I hope that it is something that is true for all of us in our lives. Paul says, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. In other words, I'm not trying to always approve people, because if I try to win the approval of people, then I will take my eyes off of Christ. I can't please everyone, in other words, but I can please God. So the question I have for you this morning, the first question I have for you is, are you a people pleaser? Are you a people pleaser? Are you driven, like I have been in so many seasons of my life, by what people think, by what other people think of me? To dive a little bit deeper, I want to break it down. I want to give you four characteristics of people pleasers so you can assess and see if you yourself are a people pleaser. Four characteristics of people pleasers. Number one, they tend to take most criticism personally. Someone criticizes you and you are devastated by it. For example, oh, that hurts. My grandma Betty told me that I needed to do better in math. She criticized me. So she's devastated. I'm devastated by it. Or one person can give you one piece of criticism and you are just crushed by it. For example, 9 or 10 people can tell me, Jameson, you're doing a wonderful job at pastoring Briarwood Church. And I can just hear one negative comment from somebody and totally I'm like, oh no, I'm a failure. I'm devastated by what someone thinks about me. So how many of you would say that you tend to take criticism personally? Are you a people pleaser? The second characteristic of a people pleaser is they feel an extraordinary fear of rejection. Please don't reject me. Please like me. I'll do whatever it takes to be liked. I'll do whatever it takes to not be rejected. And some of you, in a moment of honesty, you would say that's true for you. You feel an extraordinary fear of rejection. The third characteristic oftentimes we see among people pleasers is this. Number three, they find it hard to express their true feelings. I'd like to tell you what I really think, but I'm afraid it would hurt your feelings, or I'm afraid that you may not like me if I give you my honest opinion. How many of you here would say, yes, I have a hard time truly expressing my feelings? Why don't you be a little people pleaser and raise your hand and make me happy? Yes. And the fourth characteristic that people pleasers often exhibit is this. We have a hard time saying no. Just raise your hand right now, because that's so many of you in this room. We overextend ourselves. We overcommit to things. We don't have time for other activities in our lives, but we always overcommit. And if you're like me, when I do this, so many times I'm often agreeable on the outside, but I am so resentful on the inside. Jameson, can you come help us do that? Oh, absolutely, Brother Walt. I would love to come help you mow your grass. Dadgummit, I didn't want to do that. I don't know why Brother Walt bothering me on a Friday night. Man, why'd I tell him I'd do it? Yes, Brother Walt, I'm going to help you all that you need. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Ugh! Agreeable on the outside, but resentful on the inside. Author and psychologist Harriet Breaker wrote a book called The Disease to Please. The Disease to Please. That phrase kind of caught me. Think about that. The disease to please. And what she said is that people pleasers are like addicts. They are addicted for the approval of other people. Just as drug addicts seek drugs, people pleasers seek approval. The disease to please is a very dangerous disease, because becoming fixated on what people think of us is the quickest way for us to forget what God thinks about us. Today, I want to give you three big facts about hungering for the approval of others. The first fact is going to be a problem, and fact number two and three is going to be the solution. And what I hope today is that as I pray that the truth of God would set us aside from living for the approval of man, and instead we would live for the applause of God. So fact number one, people pleasing is a form of idolatry. Now I know it's a very harsh word, idolatry. It's a harsh statement. People pleasing is a form of idolatry. I get that that's a harsh statement, but it is very, very true. God says we shall have no other gods before him. But when we surrender our lives to the opinion of people, what we are doing is we are elevating what they feel about us above how God sees us. In fact, we say things like, I care more about what you think because I'm trying to win your approval than I care about what God thinks. So I would consider people pleasing more of a spiritual problem than I would a relational problem. It's idolatry. In fact, you see a great example of this in the New Testament with some of the leaders. These leaders, they were believers in Christ, but they would not publicly proclaim their belief in Christ. I've known Christians like that. Nobody here, I am sure. But when Christians believe in Christ, but they're so trying to win the approval of others, they're not willing to publicly proclaim their belief in Christ. That was going on in the New Testament here in the Gospel of John. John chapter 12, verses 42 through 43 tells us why these leaders, these religious leaders, did not go public with their faith. It says this: many people did believe in him, however, including some of the Jewish leaders, but they wouldn't admit it for the fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue. Here's the key part of this passage. For they loved human praise more than the praise of God. They loved human praise more than the praise of God. That's idolatry. We love for people to like us more than we do to live in the way that God has called us to live so many times in our lives. In fact, as I was preparing for this message, I tried to go back in time to see, think about, okay, when was the first time that I remember trying to live my life for the approval of other people? I was probably in the first or second grade. It's the first story I remember. I was a good kid. In fact, one of my old teachers here, my third grade teacher, Heidi Phillips over here. I was a good student, wasn't I? I was a great student. But I was in the first or second grade, and my mom and dad, we lived in a duplex. And it was the duplexes that are really close together between the duplexes. And so just right across the fence was the next set of duplexes. And our duplex had skylights all on the top of the roof, and so did our neighbors. Well, it had rained in Dallas, Texas, and in our yard it was extremely muddy. I had two friends over one afternoon, one of them being Sean Musgrave. I wanted Sean Musgrave to like me. He was a cool guy. He was a cool kid. He had four-wheelers. He had motorcycles. He had all the cool latest toys that my parents never got me because we couldn't afford them. He was spoiled. He was being raised by his grandparents, but I wanted Sean Musgrave to like me. So Sean and another friend of mine came over one afternoon, and we were outside in the yard playing, and it was extremely muddy. Sean had this idea to create these mud balls and to throw it on top of the neighbor's skylights and to cover their skylights in mud. I knew it was wrong, but I wanted him to like me. I was searching for his approval. I was a pastor's kid. I didn't want him to think I was a prude or a nerd. I wanted to be cool. Maybe he'd let me ride his motorcycles. So what did we do? We made mud balls. We started throwing them up on the duplex, and I had a sick feeling in my stomach because I knew it was wrong, but yet I wanted to win his approval. And so we covered those skylights, every square inch of mud. I thought, man, they're never going to find out. A couple days later, they found out. I still have the bristles from the hairbrush that my mama beat me with on my hind end. But I wanted to be liked. And because I cared more about the opinions of people than I did about doing the right thing, I did whatever he wanted me to do. What happened is I fell into a trap that day, and it's a trap that consumed me for way too much of my life. Winning, living for the approval of others. It's a trap that I still battle to this day. And it's a trap that some of you battle to this day. In fact, what I have done is I have listed three people-pleasing traps that we face, and it's based on one passage of Scripture. I want you to see this verse and feel the power of it, and then I'm going to give you the three people-pleasing traps. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. It says, "Fearing people is a dangerous trap." Everybody say trap. Let's try that again, y'all. Everybody wait. You can take a nap this afternoon. Fearing people is a dangerous trap. Everybody say trap. Trap. Man, it sounds so much better. But trusting the Lord means safety. Fearing people of what they are going to think about me. Fear of what are they going to do. Fear of what are people going to say about me. What are they going to think? Fearing people. It proves to be a trap. In fact, when you look at that word trap, your Bible may say snare. But when you look at that word trap in Proverbs 29, 25, the Hebrew word for that is malkish. Everybody say malkish. Malkish. It literally means a noose that goes around an animal or a hook that goes in their nose. It's a hook for the nose, literally. I know this is kind of gross, but it's like this. It's a hook in your nose. And it's living for the approval of man. Oh, come over here and do this, Jameson. And it pulls you this way. Because you want to please. I know this is kind of gross, but I don't care. I'm not a people pleaser. I don't care what you think. Or maybe I think you're going to like it, so I'm doing it because I think you're going to like me and I want to be liked. Jameson, you need to buy the coolest shoes. Okay, over here. Jameson, come to the party. It's going to be a lot of fun. All the who's who people of Pampa are going to be there. Okay. And it pulls you from direction to direction. Right? Because I'm doing this so you will like me. I got a hook in my nose. I'm being dragged around in every direction trying to win man's approval. Some of us, we live life like this throughout our entire lives. But God wants to set us free. We have to be set free. So I've listed three specific traps that the enemy will use to try to keep us from being set free. Number one, the I will compromise for you trap. I will compromise for you trap. So many examples of this. Heard a bazillion examples of a boy or girl dating, and the boy is wanting to be aggressive. His hormones are raging. And the girl doesn't want to do what he wants to do, but she's going to compromise her values for him trap because she wants to be liked. She wants to be loved. The I will compromise for you trap. Maybe you're at work and one of your coworkers or your boss tells an off-color joke, and deep down it offends you, but you want to be liked by your boss, and so you laugh at the joke that really is not funny to you. Or maybe end of the year comes and your sales numbers are low, and you know that if you can just manipulate the numbers, your manager is going to be so happy. And so you massage the numbers and make them look a little inflated so you will compromise for him trap. Because we oftentimes feel pressure of everyone else's expectations. It's the I will compromise for you trap. The second trap that I've listed is the I will overcommit for you trap. I care so much about you that I'm going to do more than I should so that you will think highly of me. Can you do this? Absolutely, I can do this. Will you do that? Absolutely, I'll do that. But yet, it overcommits us. It's absolutely insane to me how as a society we all have become overcommitted, overstretched, and under-resourced. Most of us have very little time for God. Most of us have very little time for our families because we are overcommitted. I've got to be here. I've got to be there. My son needs to play on this travel baseball team, but then he needs to play on this travel baseball team on Thursdays and this one on Mondays because he's going to the Major League Baseball. He's going to make it to the pros. Oh, really? He's that good? Oh, yeah. He's little Johnny's going to be good. How old is he? He's 5. Oh, yeah. It's the I will overcommit trap. There's a third one. Here's the third trap that the enemy will use as we are people pleasers. Number three, I will let you limit my success trap. Some of you, you feel called by God to be a leader. You have a vision inside of you that you know or that you feel where God is calling you in your life. You have a purpose and a plan that you feel like he has for you. Maybe it's to influence others for him. But because of the opinion of others, you now have a ceiling on your potential that he has for you. I will let you limit my success trap. We have to love the approval of God and the vision of God more than we love the approval of people or the opinions of people. But it's a very common trap. What is it? It's idolatry. It's surrendering and sacrificing the values of God, the call of God on our lives, for the opinions of what other people think about us. So what's the answer? That's fact number one, that it's idolatry. What's the answer? What's the answer? Because I'll tell you right now, this is an ongoing challenge for many of us here today, including myself. Here's the answer, number two. fear of God is the best remedy for the fear of people. It's a challenge. As your pastor, I want to serve you. I want to get attaboys, pats on the back. I want you to like me. I don't want hateful emails. I don't want my name to be mentioned on Let It All Out Gray County. I want you to like me. So the solution is for that, when I'm so consumed about the opinion of others, and the solution for you is this: the fear of God is the best remedy for the fear of people. It's that simple. And that one statement can absolutely be completely life-changing. The fear of God is the best remedy for the fear of what people think. So if you're here today, and if you're being honest and you were to say, if I were to ask you, are you a people pleaser? Yeah, I'm kind of a people pleaser. I kind of live for the approval of others. Let me just say this boldly, but let me also say it lovingly. If that's you, if you're living for the approval of people more than the approval of God, that means people are too big in your life and God is too small in your life. Let me say that again, because we all need to hear that, including myself. If we find ourselves living for the approval of people, then that means people are too big in our lives and God is too small in our life. The opinions of people are too big. We give what they think about us too much weight, and the opinion of God has become way too small. Here's what Scripture says in Psalm chapter 34, verse 9. Fear the Lord, you his godly people. For those who fear him will have all they need. That word fear there, it's talking about having a holy reverence for God. When you have a holy reverence for God, when God becomes big in your life, when you honor God, when you serve him first, you won't need the approval of people. When you live that way for the approval of God, that will be all that you need. So many of us, we have compromised our values because of the approval for others. But we're not going to let the opinions of others deter us from what God calls us to do. Because God is big. And when you live for God, he is close to you. And I promise you, when you live for him, you will be different. Because being normal is rarely godly these days. So when God becomes so big in your lives, you're going to say, you know what, I'm not going to compromise for you. He becomes so big and so close to you that you're not going to overcommit where it will keep you from having time with him and time with your family. But instead of being overcommitted, you're going to live your life in the rhythm of God. In fact, Scripture tells us, come unto me, all you who are weary and worn out and burdened, and I will give you rest. We talked about stress a few weeks ago, and we think stress is normal. We think it's the way we should live life. But so often what we are doing is we are being dragged around by the expectations of other people instead of putting our trust in God. Chances are, if you were to be not concerned about what people think, that your life would look different today at this moment. Some of you, you'd have a different career if you served God first. Some of you, you'd be educating your kids in a different way. Maybe you would have a different job if you weren't worried about what others thought of you. The Bible says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only way we can be totally changed is to stop caring what everybody else thinks and be who God created you to be. You don't have to dress like them. You don't have to talk like them. You don't have to live like them. If you live like everyone else, you are not following Christ. Because our society today is all about consumerism and all about self. And it's a sickness. The disease to please. And you must be set free. The only remedy for the fear of people, and the fear of what people think, is for God to be bigger in your life. Seek Him. Surrender to Him. Know Him. I was reminded when Judson was little. We have that picture of my kids, Drew. Yeah, man. I wish he was here to see this. When he was little, we'd sit out on the, we lived in Canyon, and we had this long driveway, and Brooke and I would just sit out in the driveway in the evenings and just watch the kids. Juddy would most nights be dressed just like that or something similar. And he would, never forget, he would ride his bike up and down the driveway. And as Brooke and I were sitting there talking, he'd be like, "Watch, Dad! Dad, watch! Dad, watch!" In fact, he got to the age where he set up this little jump on his bicycle. It was like a little 2x4. And he'd go over this 2x4. "Watch, Dad, are you proud of me? Are you proud of me?" He wouldn't get any air. He'd just go, "Dad, watch. I want you to be proud of me. I want you to be proud of me. Watch, Dad, watch." In fact, one time I said, let me show you how to really do a jump. And so I set up a jump for him. And I said, "Now, when you go over this jump, I want you to jerk up on the handlebars as strong as you can." So he was riding his bicycle really fast. And he went over this jump and jerked up and fell back. I said, "Man, now Dad is proud of you." No, I didn't say that. But when he was little, he was always saying, "Watch, Dad, watch, Dad. Are you proud of me? Are you proud of me? Are you proud of me?" One day he was sitting there, and we were just sitting there at the dinner table. Alexis was over at a friend's house, and I looked over at Judson. I said, "Juddy, I'm so proud of you." He said, "Why? I didn't do anything." I said, "Because I'm your dad. I'm your dad. I am proud of you." Fact number three is this. We don't need to perform for God. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, God said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." This was before Jesus did anything in his ministry. Before he did anything, it was his father was proud of him. Why? Because it was his father. I think sometimes we forget exactly who God is to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. "And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." When we don't see God correctly, we will always see ourselves incorrectly. We need to reclaim our identity, that we all are sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father, of our Heavenly Father. And when we learn that we are His children, we'll stop trying to have that craving for approval. We'll start trying to do things to be approved by others. We'll start trying to do things to live for God's approval, because we are His children. He's always going to be proud of us. He doesn't want us to do specific things other than to live for Him and to have a close relationship with Him. When we learn that we are His children, our need for craving and our need for approval begins to be known and fulfilled through His Word. Through the power of His Word. So today, if you find yourself hungering for approval from other people, let God fill that hunger. Let Him fill that hunger, because it's all that matters.